Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And our good buddy Brian Costello is sponsored by Winters Brothers, Long Island's number one choice for waste removal and recycling services, by Van Buren Buick GMC Garden City Park, family owned and operated since 1935, by CSEA Local 830. We work for you. And by Play Sugar House. Legal sports betting is here. Check it out at playsugarhouse.com. $250 deposit match on your first deposit. He does a great job covering the Jets for the New York Post, the radio station, and all of that. And that's Brian Costello. Hi, Brian.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Oh, great. Yeah, just great. I'm great. Hey, let me just say this. So here I am Sunday. It's 80 degrees out. All right. Beautiful day. Yeah. The days are limited now. But how many, the weather's supposed to be good for a little while here now. But the days are limited. How many more days I'm going to be able to play golf, right, until we get to the winter now. And here I am, because my team plays at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So, of course, I got to sit there. I'm watching my team no matter what. But I wasted an entire beautiful 3 hours on a Sunday when I could have been playing at least 9 holes of golf to watch that garbage on Sunday. Another wide receiver is open by 20 yards that I never heard of. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I took a 6 a.m. flight home from Jacksonville yesterday, and my flight was still with Jets fans, and I was looking at these poor people who, you know, spent all this money down there, and now they're flying home, they're trying to take an early flight so they can probably get to work and work Monday, and they were all just kind of looking at each other and commiserating in the misery of that game and of Todd Bowles and of being a Jets fan in general. And, just amazes me. You're a special breed, you guys, the Jets fans.
Yeah. I call it a six something. I won't say what the word is. All right? 54 years of hemorrhoids. You know what I'm saying, Brian?
But, Brian, you know what happened on Sunday? I was telling this to Joe on Monday. The secret's out, okay? Not too long ago, It was almost a very quiet secret society of people that realized Todd Bowles was a terrible head coach.
Finally.
And now I think the world knows. I think it's obvious that Todd Bowles is not very good and that the seat is hot, to say the least.
Yeah, the seat is hot. And, you know, I think, obviously, they're not going to do anything in the middle of the season like we talked about last week. But clearly he has a lot to prove here in these last 12 games. And, they're going to have to drastically play better than they did Sunday for him to save his job. You can't go into a fifth season with a guy who hasn't made the playoffs and the team isn't showing progress at all. And, I mean, how can you find any progress in what you saw Sunday? They came out flat again, which we've seen so many times. They look lost on offense and defense. And, you know, the underneath passes is funny. I noticed that in preseason. The Redskins did that to them. But, you know, it's preseason. You kind of dismiss it. But I think the Jaguars hit on something Sunday with, you know, the Jets linebackers are not very good in coverage. And if you can exploit the middle of the field against the Jets, you don't have to worry about the outside at all. You can just do that all day long. And the Jaguars kind of gave, I think, teams a little bit of a blueprint of what to do against the Jets.
And I'm tired of hearing people like Leonard Williams say, oh, you know, we love the coach and, you know, you got to be patient and, you know, we're going to get it fixed and all it is. I'm tired of hearing that stuff. You love him so much, go out there and play for the guy and win, you know?
Yeah. You know, we heard with Rex for the last few years, we went through that with guys and, you know, they do like him, but they just don't seem to be able to play for him. So, you know, what do you expect players to say? They're going to say that. I thought Quincy Enunwa's comment after the game was more damning than anything. Was, you know, he was asked simply, you know, what went wrong on offense, and he took about 20 seconds, and he was thinking, and he just said, you know, I don't know. He goes, I guess we saw something different than we thought we would. I don't know. I don't call the plays, man. And it was like, whoa, okay. And then pressed him on it, he walked it back, of course. You know, oh, no, I have no problem with the play calling, but it certainly sounded like he did. And him saying, you know, they did something that the Jets weren't expecting was interesting. So, you know, clearly you don't have to be Vince Lombardi to see that was not a great game plan on Sunday, and the game, they didn't come out very, very strong.
Well, one of the issues I had early was the play calling. I mean, Bilal Powell only ran the football three times in the first half of this game, and in the first half he was productive, not as much in the second half, but they were also playing from behind. Why did they get away from the run as quickly as they did?
They blamed it on the lack of number of plays in the first half, which I think they had 7 in the first quarter, or maybe 22 at halftime total plays. But to me, like, you weren't winning that game. Like, it was clear you were not winning that game. I thought they just should have come out in the second half and just pounded the ball and try to build something for the future. And it's great. If you get back in the game, great. All of a sudden, you can do something. But just kind of just try to run the ball. I mean, sitting Sam Darnold back there against that defense was not going to work. They had their ears pinned back. They were coming flying in the second half after him. I thought they should have just stuck with the run and kind of tried to establish something going forward here. Against, you know, they were playing up against a better team. They weren't going to win that game. It was clear. I thought they gave up on the run way too early.
Yeah, and let's be honest. I mean, and I'm not going to get on Donald. He's, you know, he's a work in progress, but he missed some open throws. I mean, that third and one pass to Bilal Powell, he missed. And even the fourth down, and I had no problem going for that fourth down there. But really, Anunua maybe he should have caught the ball, but if it was a good pass, it would have been a touchdown. It would have been a touchdown.
It was a tough catch. If he put it in front of him, it's a touchdown. And then the deep pass to Robbie Anderson.
Right, exactly. Yep.
I think the positive, if you look for the positive there, is he's taking the deep pass. You know, after the Cleveland game, everyone was like, well, where are the deep throws
right,
in this offense?
Right.
least they were there this week. You know, you got to hope he plays a few more games, he starts hitting those deep throws, and they start connecting. And I think clearly there's some lack of chemistry between him and the receiver so far. There's just not a lot going on there other than Quincy Anunua. No one's really doing much, so you just have to hope that that's a sign of progress. At least he's realizing to take the deep shots, and then he hits them in a few weeks.
I'll give you a positive, even though it's quickly taken back by a negative. Chris Herndon made one hell of a catch.
Of course, it was a penalty.
Of course, it was ruined, yes, by Eric Tomlinson's holding penalty, but for that moment, it was a brilliant catch.
It was, and that was another deep throw he took. I think that was a 33-yard gain I got walked back. Yeah, I mean, the same old story with the penalties.
Oh,
they didn't commit a lot of them, but the ones they commit just seem to kill them.
How about the one when Anunua makes like Bavaro right after the last turnover, and it was a holding penalty on Beecham to take that back?
Yeah. I know. It's remarkable. They seem to make penalties at the exact worst time you can make them.
And how about this? I said this, Evan and I were talking about this. Only the Jets could win the turnover battle 3-0. 3-0 turnover win. And which is 90, it's a 91% that you're going to win the game if you got a plus 3 in the turnovers, and only the Jets could lose that game. Not only lose a game, get killed. Not only lose a game, get killed. How's that possible, Brian? How?
Yeah, I mean, the turnovers came pretty late in the game. The game was pretty out of reach at that point anyway. But, you know, and to be, if you're truthful about it, Donald should have had what?
Yeah, he should have threw,
three interceptions.
Well, one got caught back for a penalty, right? He missed a couple drops.
And then, Bouye had one at the goal line he should have had, and there was another one at the end of it, maybe Jalen Ramsey dropped. So, you know, in all honesty, probably shouldn't have been plus 3.
Yeah, but think about this, Brian.
They were.
Because we looked it up yesterday. Just we needed
91%,
to chew on it.
91%, Brian.
343-33. The record of the team that wins the turnover battle by plus 3 since 2005.
It's unbelievable.
Let that sink in.
Yes.
The Jets are record setters, I guess.
Yeah.
And how about this?
A couple things with the coach. Let's start with this, okay? The first, and I was all for going for that 4th-and-1, and they should have converted it. It was there. The play was there. I had no problem with that in the first half. But 25-3, you're kicking a field goal? What? Come on.
Yeah.
I got to get points on the board. And then he punts on 4th down and with 4th and 6, whatever, with 4 minutes to go, down 25-12. What are you kidding me? Come on.
Defensive head coach. That's what that is. And we saw you see it with him all the time. You know, remember Pittsburgh a few years ago, Buffalo, you know. But these guys trust their defenses. They don't trust the offense. In their mind, it's let's get the defense on the field, get a stop, get better field position. But, you know, you look around the league.
They never got the ball back, by the way. Just so I'm saying that.
But you look around the league now and see how aggressive some of these offensive guys are. You know, Doug Peterson is on the headline from last year.
Yep.
But Frank Wright's going for it. Didn't work for it the other night. But you kind of like not aggressiveness. Vrabel's not even an offensive guy. Defensive guy went for it. But these guys, you know, it's kind of the trend around the league now is these aggressive head coaches. You know, Todd is not in that category, that's for sure.
Yeah, got that right.
We're talking to Brian Costello about this wonderful football team. There's two wonderful teams here in New York. Now, you're in this locker room, all right? What's the sense you're getting from these players? Frustrated, confident, they don't give a damn. Give me the sense of what's going on.
There was frustration. There was clearly frustration there, especially defensively, giving up 500 yards. They were upset, you know. This is a group that's very prideful, you know, and they were defensive when someone asked Jamal Adams about all the hype about the secondary and how he played, and he did not like that word. And he basically said, we are a good secondary, it's not hype, you know, not very defensive about it. They were upset. I would never say that they didn't care. I didn't get that sense at all. They were really upset with the way it went and embarrassed defensively, I think, by the 500 yards.
Yeah, and it wasn't exactly an offensive juggernaut that was putting up 500 yards against him either. And how about this Trumaine Johnson? What a waste of money. I mean, this guy, you know, I mean, he gets beat like a drum on that one touchdown. I mean, he wasn't even close to the guy. I mean, they paid this guy all his money. This guy's a lockdown corner? Come on.
Yeah, well, I laughed. Jeff Fisher, I guess, said that he kind of fell asleep on the play.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I was like, huh.
And Jeff Fisher, Jeff Fisher was asleep the whole game. So
Trumaine Johnson might have been listening to Jeff Fisher. That might have put him to
sleep. Maybe.
Fisher coached Trumaine Johnson with the Rams, right, so he knows the player. So I thought that was a telling statement. So he said, it looked like Trumaine kind of fell asleep on that play. Yeah, so far he's not lived up to his contract.
That's an understatement. You know,
he's got a long way to go, though, fellas.
Here's another guy that got me ticked off was Crowell. I mean, that ball's got to be over the goal line. He knows where he is. Make sure you put the ball over the damn goal. How do you not do that?
But, Joe, can the offensive line block those guys?
No, I get that. No, I understand that.
Calais Campbell and Marcel Darius were in the end zone before he got the ball.
They were. But he could have got it over the line, though.
Yeah, but I think you got to give – in that situation, if you're offensive lineman, you've got to give them – you know, got to hold your block for a little longer than that.
Yeah. Nah, it's a disgrace. I mean, what's new? What's new with this? It never changes with it. And now they're playing three – how many wins do you give them? Do you give them one win in the next three at home?
Yeah, I would say, yeah. I would expect one, and I think if you're a fan, you got to be open for two.
How about winning them all? I mean, why is that so impossible?
Because they're not good enough.
No, it's not going to happen. But you know what? They're not good enough. There's talent on this team if this team was coached properly. I mean it, Brian. There's talent on this team if they was coached the right way. They're not.
Also, rookie quarterback too, Joe.
I get that. No, I understand.
I mean, that's part of it.
I get it.
If Josh McCown was quarterbacking this team, I think expectations would be a little different now.
You think so?
Oh yeah. I mean Josh isn't Joe Montana, but I think
they'd have the same record. Who's kidding who? They'd have the exact same record.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. What game would they win? Who? Would they beat Cleveland?
I think they would have beaten Cleveland. Yeah. Yeah. I think. I mean, maybe they come out against Miami better. I don't know. I think Josh McCown would have.
So here's my okay. So with that said, if they go 4-12, okay, because I'm really concerned about this. Because this coach is not measured by win. I've never seen it. It's unbelievable. I've never seen a coach that doesn't matter if he wins or not. We're keeping him here. So if they go 4-12, are we going to hear the nonsense where they had a rookie quarterback and so we're going to give him another year? Are we getting that nonsense?
I don't think so. I think, and I said this to Evan in the summer, I think it's the way it looks in December, right? Does it look like they are making progress and they're on the way up? I can't see 4-12 how that would be. I don't think they're going to win three games at the end of the season. They won right now. I think what you're describing would be one win in December probably. I can't see them walking away from that being like, all right, we feel good about this coach going into his fifth year. So I think it's really going to depend on that finish. How does Darnold look? What's the feeling going into 2019? Is the arrow pointing up? That could save bowls, but 4-12, it's hard to see that.
I don't see it happening.
No,
I really don't.
Better not.
Better if they go out and win 10 games.
Well, of course.
That'll happen.
Well, That's a different story.
Yeah,
and December's a tough schedule. They got the Packers. They've got
Patriots and Packers to close the season. They got the Titans. Yeah.
Every game for them is tough.
The Texans are.
If they were playing Rutgers, it would be a tough game.
Well, that's going too far.
Maybe not Rutgers. You're right.
Army, yes.
Yeah, my Army, right. Yeah, right.
Alabama,
Georgia. Yeah, I'm right.
Hey, Brian, you're right, though. If you look at the last six games they play, the Patriots at the Titans, at the Bills, the Texans, the Packers, the Patriots. That's a very tough end of the season. Maybe not the Bills, but then again, because they're really confident they're going to beat the Bills.
But it's in Buffalo.
It's in Buffalo.
You never know. It's going to be a tough finish. So, and I think that will tell the tale in Todd Bowles. I don't think we'll be talking about Jacksonville in January. We'll be talking about those games right there.
All right, Terrell Pryor, why did he play only two snaps the other day?
Very strange. Now, he injured his groin Thursday in practice.
Right.
But he came back Friday and practiced four. So, you know, he was active for the game. So you figure they're going to play him. He only played two snaps. Now, Bowles did something like, you know, they didn't have enough plays to do a lot of substituting. So they just stuck with the guys they had. But that makes no sense. So I'm curious to watch that going forward. I will tell you this. I think he was the first guy in the locker room. So I don't know how happy he was. He didn't talk to us. But he was, when we were coming back from the press conference, going to the locker room, I saw him coming out already. So I can't imagine he was too thrilled with just two plays in that game.
I want to congratulate you, by the way. Not only did Brian win his week in fantasy
football,
he won fantasy football. He won by 1 point over our old buddy Troy Jefferson.
Wow!
By one point.
Who's your quarterback, Brian?
I got Roethlisberger and Wentz.
Yeah, he didn't even get that much production out of the quarterbacks. Kareem Hunt won it for him last night. That's how he pulled it off. It was a really impressive victory. So congratulations to you.
Thank you. The only guy I haven't worked on top ball is Ernie.
Right. Ernie is 0-4 in the league. He's the only owner who doesn't have a win.
Is that true?
Yep. Mm. Me and Costello both 3-1 because we know what we're doing, obviously.
Right. Ernie said not to mention that either.
Yeah.
Ernie said don't mention it?
No. He's 0-4. The facts are the facts. Well, is what it is.
Yeah, right. They win Sunday. You give me what shot? They're favored in this game too, which is ridiculous. But
yeah.
I mean, how are they favored in this game?
Today.
What?
I wonder if that changes.
Well, the Broncos lost, so I think that it's going to stay that way. What are they? A 2-point favorite? I think it's 2.
Yeah. I give a chance. I'm not sure. You know, I haven't watched Denver much yet, but you know they're playing at home. I don't think Denver's world beaters or anything.
How about them coming out right from the beginning? How about giving me something right from the beginning of this football game? Like you said, that never happens with this team. Never.
No, you'd like to see them come out and march down the field. You know, we'll see. I think they have to be embarrassed by the way they played Sunday, and I would think they play a lot better this week.
Hmm. We'll see. Brian, great talking to you.
From your lips to God's ears, Brian. You know what I'm saying?
All right, guys.
See you, Brian.
Brian Costello on the Jets.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!